Hey, welcome back, Screen Crush. I'm Ryan Airy, and it looks like Gina Carano might just be back as Cara Dune. Lucasfilm released a statement that implied that she's going to be returning to The Mandalorian. So, I'm going to catch you up with this controversy, her lawsuit with Disney, and later I'm going to talk to Doug's attorney, Mike Mazzella, and Tommy Bechtold about what this actually means legally and for Star Wars and the new Rangers of the New Republic show. And don't forget, we have lots of Star Wars parody merch at our merch store, like Calibrate Your Enthusiasm, Fight the Empire, and I Have Friends Everywhere. It's all linked below. To catch you up on everything, Gina Carano was an MMA fighter, and a damn good one. She broke into acting as the heavy in movies like Fast and Furious 6 and Deadpool, but she really broke on The Mandalorian as former Rebel Shock Trooper Cara Dune. After a great premiere episode, she then became a key part of the recurring cast, always answering the call when Din Djarin needed help. She also had a great backstory. A warrior from Alderaan, a rebel infantry soldier, but she left the New Republic because she hated guard duty and she just wanted to go kill Imperials. And all through the show, she had her own arc happening in the background. She went from a loner to becoming the Marshal of Navarro, and Carson Teva tries to pull her back into the New Republic.
There's something going on out here. They don't believe it on the core worlds, but it's true. These aren't isolated incidents. They need to be stopped before it's too late.
Now, that clip from Carson Teva seemed to be implying a greater story at work happening in the background. And sure enough, in 2020, Lucasfilm announced a spinoff show called Rangers of the New Republic, and it was assumed that she would be the star of the series. Now, this would be a spinoff from The Mandalorian that would help to set up that Avengers-style culmination movie that's going to bring together all of these Disney Plus shows. And I just gotta say how damn excited I was for this show. Cara Dune was a great addition to the Star Wars canon, and there's even this moment in season 2's finale when I realized, holy hell, everybody fighting with Mando is just a badass woman. Cara Dune wasn't just a Star Wars character, she was a role model. The problem is, Gina Carano is not Cara Dune. She is an outspoken conservative, which is rare in Hollywood, but not unheard of. In fact, one of my all-time favorite actors, Sylvester Stallone, is a Republican. But Carano was not private with her beliefs. She used her platform to mock trans people and share misinformation about the plague, but she really ignited a firestorm with a truly disgusting Instagram post. She compared being a conservative in Hollywood to the persecution that Jews suffered during the Holocaust, and then posted a picture of the pogroms. Now, that post has been deleted, and I'm not going to show it on this channel. Disney fired her, and later said in a statement that Carano's decision to publicly trivialize the Holocaust by comparing criticism of political conservatives to the annihilation of millions of Jewish people was the final straw for Disney. Afterwards, she filed a lawsuit for harassment and public defamation.
Serving subpoenas?
Yikes.
Saying that other Star Wars actors like Mark Hamill, Pedro Pascal, and Carl Weathers were not fired for their political posts. And her lawsuit was funded by the richest man in the world, Elon Musk. I'm very much looking forward to talking to Mike Mazzella, an attorney, about this later on to see what kind of legal grounds she actually had. Now, that's where we left it until yesterday. A Lucasfilm spokesperson released a statement saying, "The Walt Disney Company and Lucasfilm are pleased to announce that we have reached an agreement with Gina Carano to resolve the issues in her pending lawsuit against the company." Now, if that's all they would have said, then we would not be talking about this right now. But then, they added a little bit to talk about how nice she is. Ms. Carano was always well-respected by her directors, co-stars, and staff, and she worked hard to perfect her craft while treating her colleagues with kindness and respect. But finally, they hit us with this bombshell. With this lawsuit concluded, we look forward to identifying opportunities to work with Ms. Carano in the near future. So, my question is, as a Star Wars fan, what does this mean for Cara Dune? Like, there was a brief mention of her in season 3.
What about Marshal Dune?
After she brought in Moff Gideon, she was recruited by Special Forces.
And my personal theory is that Rangers of the New Republic was meant to do some crucial setup for the Mandalorian crossover movie that Dave Filoni is working on. Like, remember that weird episode about Dr. Pershing on Coruscant? I really liked that episode, but I admit it did not fit in with the rest of the show.
Hey, person, I just want to do a quick mental health check. How is your stress level?
Dude, not bad. I mean, you guys know July was one of our busiest months ever with Superman and the Fantastic Four both coming out a couple weeks apart. And stressful times like that used to really get to me, and I would rely on my bad oral fixation habits. Like for me, it's squishing one eye really hard or licking my lips or biting my tongue. So instead, I replace my facial tics with Fume. They're the sponsor of this video. Now, I'm sure you guys have your own bad habits that you would like to quit, especially in social situations when you feel anxious or just bored. For me, Fume has been a game changer. Fume does not use smoke or vapor, just natural flavored air that gives you something to reach for without the chemicals. Studies have shown that quitting a bad habit cold turkey is actually really bad for you. So I like having something to reach for when I feel that urge. This is a great alternative to those harmful habits. Guys, this is an award-winning flavored air device that does not use combustion and it's not even electronic. You can use it anywhere. No smoke, no vapor, no chemicals, just natural flavored air. See, it has these plant-based cores that just taste great. In fact, they just introduced mango, my new favorite flavor. It's bolder than past flavors I've tried, and I recommend it if you want to switch things up. These are non-toxic flavors and a guilt-free alternative with natural ingredients. But you guys know, I also love this magnetic, fidget-friendly design that makes this incredibly satisfying sound. Guys, more than 500,000 people have already added Fume to their daily routine, and I totally get why. It's simple, satisfying, and doesn't come with any of the downsides of your old bad habits. And right now, if you order the Journey Pack using my code SCREENCRUSH, you will get a free Fume topper. It's this rubber piece on the end, so you can chew on the end of it. It's great for oral fixation anxiety. So if you've been thinking about changing your habits, I think Fume is the perfect first step. Go to tryfume.com/screencrush or scan the QR code on screen right now to grab yours today. Now, back to what I was saying. Okay, so back to that weird Dr. Pershing episode. In that episode, Pershing is part of the Imperial Rehabilitation Program, and another former Imperial befriends him before turning him in and torturing him. So maybe that was part of a plot that was supposed to be set up in Rangers of the New Republic that would have been crucial for showing how Imperial loyalists are still active in the New Republic. We also saw a little bit of this in the show Ahsoka. So imagine if Cara Dune was supposed to go on these Black Ops missions to uncover these Imperial spies. This would have also been a great way to bring in other aspects from the comics and wider canon. For instance, there's this great comic by Mark Waid and Terry Dodson about the aftermath of Alderaan's destruction, where Leia helps to establish a new Alderaan led by Avon Verlaine. A Ranger series could show how Alderaanians are working to reunite after the Empire committed an actual holocaust against their people. So now to get a handle on the legal situation here, I have two very important guests. We have Doug's attorney, Mike Mazzella, and we have Tommy Bechtold, the guy who's always on break. Mike, I got to start with you here. So, you know, you're an attorney. You know, you've represented Doug through a lot of cases we're not legally allowed to talk about, even though they were settled in small claims, but which is good, but still NDAs were signed. What is your opinion on this? Why did Disney settle? Were they going to lose? And is Gina, you know, what does this mean for her future at Disney?
A lot of thoughts on why Disney might have settled this. No, they were not going to lose, and kind of uncertain what this means for Gina Carano's future and where this lands her in the Hollywood entertainment landscape. So first of all, Disney probably did not need to settle this lawsuit. Now, most lawsuits settle. Probably over 90% of civil lawsuits end up settling rather than going to trial. The reason for that is that litigation is expensive. So every stage of the litigation is expensive, whether it's the discovery or even the filing. And then when it comes to the actual pretrial and everything, litigation, you have a hard way of estimating your costs at the outset because it is adversarial, right? So you file motions, the other side files an objection to those motions. They file a motion, you now have to file an objection. So the amount of work that you're putting in,
You're being thorough, but I really respect your profession because my ADHD kicked in like about a minute ago.
It's a lot of stuff. Basically, all you need to remember at the end of the day is these are companies that are trying to make money. And what they're going to do is whatever is going to make or save them the most money at the end of the day. So if they're financial people and their lawyers sit down and say, okay, let's calculate what are the possibilities, what's the percentage chance that we're actually going to proceed to trial on this case, and then what is the percentage chance that we lose, and then you multiply that by how much do we stand to lose, how much is she suing for, what is she asking for in terms of a judgment, and is it worth it to us to pay all of the litigation costs in order to potentially avoid having to pay that large judgment or not. And in this case and in other similar media cases that we've seen lately, we are seeing a trend of media companies kind of kowtowing and saying, okay, fine, we'll settle this lawsuit that we in all likelihood would win, maybe not to save money on the litigation expenses, but to save face with the public and to kind of appear more neutral politically. And I think
the 60 Minutes lawsuit, right, with CBS.
Exactly,
But they also had that giant merger with Skydance. They were trying to, like, grease the wheels in the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. This, I mean, Disney doesn't, you know, what's interesting, though, is even though they don't have a big merger or anything corporate at stake, It's not like she was financing this legal defense herself. I mean, Elon, the richest private citizen in the world, was financing this. Do you think that had anything to do with them blinking?
Oh, absolutely. Almost certainly. So this has become more of a trend in the last decade, but you can privately fund a lawsuit. So you can provide all of the upfront expenses, such as paying for the discovery, paying for the attorneys, paying for all of the legal processes that then allow you to actually pursue those claims in exchange for whoever provided the funding for the lawsuit receiving all of or a portion of the judgment amount at the end of it. Now, I'm sure with Elon Musk here, we don't know exactly what the terms of the agreement he had with Gina Carano are for funding this lawsuit. I would even venture to guess that maybe he didn't want to take any money from the judgment and that this was more of just a political statement or something that he wanted to do to stick it to Disney.
I would say that's inaccurate. Yeah, I'd say that's inaccurate.
Keep in mind, too, like kind of the political ideas around Disney at the time that the lawsuit was filed. This lawsuit was filed a few years ago when Disney was kind of embroiled in this big culture showdown in Florida with Ron DeSantis about don't say gay and all of that. And so Disney had kind of staked themselves out, maybe not intentionally sought to do this, but had kind of made themselves a figurehead kind of left of center. And then as a result of that became kind of a target. So then Gina Carano has this lawsuit against Disney, and somebody like Elon Musk, who wants to stop woke or stick it to the woke, says, hey, I can step in. Gina Carano doesn't have a lot of money. Disney has a ton of money. I can put a ton of my money behind Gina Carano to stick it to Disney. So that's kind of more or less what happened here. This is a lawsuit that has progressed and now come to an end, not really focused on the legality of the claims that are being made, but more the social and political commentary attached to the case, and Elon Musk saying, well, I have more money than God, I can do whatever I want, so I guess I'm just gonna help Gina Carano fund this, you know, less than structurally sound lawsuit against Disney.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Everything today, I feel like we say this every few years, but everything today is so hyper-politicized and political, which people have been saying since there were politics. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it is interesting to see how much politics has kind of infiltrated the business side of the entertainment industry, and then how much that has a direct effect on what I like to talk about on this channel, which is the hopefully season 4 of The Mandalorian, the Dave Filoni giant culmination Avengers movie that I hope we're still getting, and the canceled or never even really on the radar Rangers of the New Republic. So Tommy, I want to talk to you about the Star Wars aspects of this. Now, in 2020, Kathleen Kennedy and Kevin Feige did this big meeting, the big showcase, where they were kind of forced to talk about things that weren't even ready yet. Like, you know, we brought up Rogue Squadron and Lando, and Kevin Feige announced Armor Wars and all this other stuff. But one of those projects was Rangers of the New Republic. So it probably wasn't even at the development stage where they were ready to talk about it. But Disney was desperate to kind of show, hey, during the pandemic, we have a lot of stuff that's happening. Don't sell your Disney stock. We promise. We're making a lot of stuff for people during the pandemic. So it was kind of a panic post for them. But I was excited about it, you know, and like I said earlier, there were aspects of The Mandalorian season 3 that seemed like they were going to be for that show. So I just kind of want to know where you stand on the Star Wars aspect here. Like, I guess whether it involves her or not, you know, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, first of all, if Disney was hell-bent on bringing back a soulless wooden actor, Pinocchio's already on the roster. I don't
That's
understand
true.
Why they had to
That's
that.
True.
But
That's true.
I think that Star Wars press announcements have been a bit of a disaster over the last 3 years. Daisy Ridley would probably like a word on all of this, but it's like, it feels like at the point, like, you're absolutely right. There was just this desperation to be like, we're fine, guys. We've got a lot of stuff in the pipeline. It's going to be really great. We'll even sprinkle in some teasers or some potential Easter eggs for these properties in our existing shows in production. And the problem they're having now is, like, in general, interest in all of this has kind of waned, right? Like, interest in Marvel seems to be way down. Interest in Star Wars seems to be at least slightly down. I mean,
I'll push back on that, but go ahead. I cut you off. Yeah.
No, I feel like they're at a point now where they don't want to piss anyone off. And that's a dangerous place to come from creatively, where you're like, we want to appeal to everyone. We're gonna go back to the, we are making America great again by going back to the 90s where everyone sued everyone, and if you spilled coffee on your lap, you got, you know, millions of dollars from McDonald's.
Okay, Mike's about to say this, but that coffee was actually too hot.
It was
and
way
the whole
too
blowback
hot.
And the whole blowback against that was
burns.
Built by corporations.
Seriously.
So people would think it was a frivolous lawsuit. No. Damn it, I stand by that woman for suing McDonald's over that coffee. We're not going to talk
Watch
about
the
coffee.
Documentary.
I can see Mike's
gruesome.
Eyes twinkle right now at the possibility of getting to talk about
all I'm saying is I think that we are at a very dangerous time media-wise. You didn't ask me, but it's like I don't think Star Wars needs to be like this. I think the pushing it into some sort of bland, we aren't going to like make any statements about anything. George Lucas made a lot of political statements in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
He pushed his social and political beliefs pretty not even, I would say, subtly in these movies. And you know what? Whether Gina Carano comes back or not is fine. I didn't care about her character when she was on the show. I did not care when she got written off. She matters to me about as much as this dead yet red highlighter I have on my desk in front of me.
I can't believe you talked about that highlighter right in front of it like that. That's just going
to
hurt us.
And it's actually pink. I'm sorry. Apologies. I've actually just want to announce I've settled with the pink highlighter. And this pink highlighter's time on my desk has been valuable. She was well-liked by the other highlighters, and we look forward to working with it in the future.
We're definitely going to use the pink highlighter again in a future project. We promise.
Totally.
It's going to be really exciting.
Totally about to use that.
It's going to be directed by, what's her name? Patty Jenkins. It's going to
you know,
awesome.
And talking, I just want to touch on politics and Star Wars before we get into that tease that Disney dropped about Gina Carano coming back, because we didn't really address that yet. Politics in Star Wars, at least under George Lucas, not only did he later say, like, yeah, the Rebel Alliance were the Viet Cong, but in The Phantom Menace, his villains were named after Newt Gingrich and Ronald Reagan, and he didn't even try to hide it, right? So it's always been there on the surface, and he'll tell you that that was his background, Berkeley kid, you know, like, was part of that whole movement in the 60s. And I would, you know, you can't argue the best Star Wars to come out since Empire is Andor, which you could say is political, but it's political in the perfect way that there are people on the left or right who go, yeah, big controlling
right
interests
on,
are bad. It's yeah. just, you know, but yeah, exactly. It's like, well, but and then it's like, well, but don't use, but you know, but it becomes a conversation, which is exactly what the original Star Wars did. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Disney's little teaser there. We look forward to working her in the, I'm paraphrasing, but immediate future or as soon as possible. Are they, Mike?
Can I ask a question for Mike? So, Mike, I have a question legally. When statements like that are released by the side that settles, are they crafted by the opposition and like they just sign off on it? Like,
sometimes.
Is it ostensibly like, is it reasonable to believe that like Gina Carano's camp wrote that statement, Disney signed off on it, and they published it? Because that felt to me like very generated by her. Like, we can't wait to have this excellent actress back on our screens.
She was so nice and pretty.
Definitely possible. Yeah. I mean, the terms of the settlement would be, you know, just between the parties, so that wouldn't be public knowledge, but that is definitely something have been a term. So you'll often see in settlement of lawsuits like this, in addition to some type of financial amount being exchanged, there's something like that that's like a show of good faith or a way for them to save face. So like you might see, you know, sometimes if there's a tort lawsuit that settles, there's like a no admission of liability statement that is also, you know, publicly stated. So that's kind of what this is. It could have been requested by Gina's lawyers. It wouldn't have been crafted by her. It would have been crafted by Musk and his people, probably.
Right.
But again, speculation there. We don't know where that came from. I want to touch on something that Tommy just said, though, too, about how, you know, oh, well, we want to, you know, try and keep these shows, you know, there's something about like the show's not being like political or keep the politics out of Star Wars or any of that. I feel like even these days when you're not trying to make an overt, you know, kind of social statement in your Star Wars or your comic book movie or whatever it is, people are still going to take it that way. So I don't think Disney's doing themselves any favors by saying, well, we're gonna take a step back and be less, you know, outward facing with our like public human decency and treating other people with respect and, you know, our policies of inclusion and like liking people. Because then you have James Gunn put out Superman, and everybody on the right is like, this is a woke monstrosity. They ruined Superman. I went to go and see it expecting there to be like a 10-minute long speech about immigrants. There wasn't. It wasn't there. No. I don't know what they're talking about. So I think, you know, maybe it's a little bit of shooting yourself in the foot to think that, oh, well, if we just kind of dial it back on the rhetoric a little bit, we'll get more of these fans back. I mean, I got to say, too, I really don't think that they're hurting that bad for fans. I think that there were people that were like, OK, I'm going to boycott The Acolyte. I'm not going to watch that. Okay, right. But they're going to watch
a very loud minority. Right.
Exactly.
That's what I was going to say.
Very loud minority.
The vast majority of fans are fans. They want to know what's canon. They're still going to watch. They're going to find a way to watch
my
it.
People,
they want to get up to speed on the story. I don't think that like Disney choosing to kind of, whether it be with Marvel or with Star Wars, to like take a step back and be like, we're going to make less political statements, or we're going to go out of our way to be very neutral and not take a position on anything. I don't think that's the way to go, because even when you're neutral, there's still people out there that are going to find just the stupidest little nitpicky thing and blow it out of proportion or paint some type of story around it to make you look whatever way that they want you to look. So I don't think, you know, kind of bending to the will of those people is the way to go here. I don't think that's how you avoid that type of controversy.
Look at Rise of Skywalker. I mean, that Rise of Skywalker is bending the knee to those people, like trying to respond to all the talk. Some of the backlash on Last Jedi was justified. A lot of it was toxic, racist, sexist. Yeah. And I think they tried to bend the knee to everybody, and look what happened. So then as far as that, the way they worded that statement about, oh, we hope to work with her in the future.
Nebulous.
Are they actually going to, or do you think that was like part of the term? Like,
potentially,
do they have to develop something? Could that even be part of the term?
I think they're keeping the door open.
She gets a free show on Disney Plus.
I think that allows them to maintain the possibility of Gina Carano coming back. I don't think they're going to have to fight anybody off to get her. I mean, she went from being on a show on Disney Plus to doing like a straight to streaming movie for Daily Wire or something. So I don't think that she's going to be hard for them to get a hold of to get her back on the team. I think that they put that out there, again, one, mostly as a sign of good faith. And that was probably requested by her team in a way to be like, hey, look, well, Disney wants to work with me. So maybe you guys who are, you know, not Daily Wire, but not Disney, you know, somewhere in between, something in the middle, maybe Hulu or, you know, somebody else might want to put me into a minor role in something. It's a way for her to try and save face and let the Hollywood or entertainment community know that she's not as radioactive as she was a couple of years ago, and that they should consider casting her in something. But I don't think it's a firm, like, dedicated commitment to putting her in something in the future. Now, that's not to say that they won't. I think that they might. Like, I think, you know, Tommy said earlier she was like a wooden character. I think she's okay. I didn't think she was that awful. I didn't think she was anything too special either. I don't think she made or break the show, but
I think they could have recast.
I think they could have recast her as well. And this, I think, allows them the possibility to bring her back without painting themselves into a corner where it's like, well, now we have to. And because I think if you do that, then maybe she turns around and goes all the way to Crazy Town and starts putting anything and everything out on X and goes, well, Disney already said that I'm coming back in Star Wars, so who cares? The moon is hollow. Like, just starts throwing out crazy things.
Well, if she had said the moon was hollow, nobody would have cared. The fact is that, you know, the statement, some of the stuff she said.
Gross. Yeah.
Like, you can't even begin to justify that, right? If you were like to remove, even if you're a conservative and you look at those statements, some of them, they're just unconscionable. Now, I do think, though, everybody should not be punished for life for something they said. We've all had our phones. We've all done impulsive, stupid stuff on our phones. And I do believe in growth and change and all this stuff. Now, I'm not saying I expect this woman to come around to other people's political beliefs or switch political parties. But the fact is, when you're an entertainer, you have to accept the consequences because you're a public-facing figure. So I was talking to Colton about this. You guys know Colton, the guy who's trapped in our TV and doesn't know, so please don't tell him. And he said, look, she can tweet whatever she wants, but you have to be able to accept the consequences of that if you're a public-facing figure, right? And I didn't have Colton. I couldn't. There wasn't room for him on this because I didn't want this. This could easily go an hour because we're all so passionate about this topic. Mm-hmm. So, do you think it's possible that like they're going to develop a project with her, but it's just going to be stuck in development hell for a while? Do you think she could appear in the crossover movie just to kind of be like, and then maybe get killed off? So she's gone, or do you think they're just going to kind of quietly keep her at the edge? Tommy, what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's perfectly reasonable to expect that they're at least making a plan to have her in that big crossover Starvengers Assemble movie. I mean, listen, I made fun of her for being not a great actress. I think by any measure or metric, she's fine. And I think my problem is when people that are aggressively mediocre try to become firebrands and get a lot of attention, then they get that attention and immediately cry victim. It's repulsive to me. However, removing all of that, why not have her be in the Mandalorian, the culmination of the Mandalorian, you know, saga in that movie, or perceived culmination, at least of that section of it? Why not have her come back? I mean, her character didn't die on screen as far as we know. Have her come in, offer some sort of support in a dire moment to the Mandalorian. Give her a moment. I agree with you. People say stupid stuff. They shouldn't have to spend the rest of their life serving a prison sentence. However, I do believe immediate consequences, like being told you're no longer on the show that you're on because you said some really reprehensible stuff, is fair. However, I also think that years later, like it's happening now, the ability to revisit that person and say, like, okay, maybe we'd like to work with you again. Disney has every right to do that. I don't love how this played out. The end result doesn't bother
me. I have a theory on how maybe this might be a kind of a corporate synergistically strategic thing for Disney to do.
Okay, lay it on me. Lay it on me, string.
So Disney, this has not had too many of these cases happen, but Gina Carano is not the only case where Disney has had to fire a major star from a show because of a legal issue. And that, let's say they bring back Gina Carano and use that as a test case for fan reaction, public reaction. What happens when you bring back this person that you formerly fired because of something problematic? And let's see what happens. Now, they've done it behind the camera. They did it with James Gunn, right? They let James Gunn go because of some tweets. They brought him back and he did the best work for them that he had ever done. Maybe they bring back Gina Carano and they go, okay, let's see how the public reacts to this. If the public doesn't react too fiery to it, or they don't get too mad about it, well, now maybe we have some precedent for bringing back Jonathan Majors to play Kang at a later point and being able to bring him back to finish that Kang story. Not anytime soon. I'm talking years down the road, but this might be a...
Yeah, maybe a year. That's a big difference.
Sure, but I think what I'm saying here is that this might be a test case for Disney to see... How does the general viewing audience react when we bring back a person who, if you're not super plugged into this stuff, you might have heard they got in trouble, but you don't really know for what. You're not that concerned about it, and you just want to know what happened to that character. So let's say they...
How strong is that hashtag going to be a few years from now, basically?
Well, I think that's the thing. Is it's like, we know the difference between what you say and what you do is important and is very crucial. The bottom line dollars and cents of a money-making studio may decide, like, oh, people were pretty cool with Gina Carano and people seem to have settled down on Jonathan Majors. Let's toss him back out there. And I'd be pretty upset if that happened, to be honest with you, based on what he did. I think that would be a pretty disgusting move. However, we seem to be in a time where, like, these people that are willing to, like, you know, wage war on the studios tend to win for all the reasons.
Disney also lost, I think they recognize rightfully that they lost a huge chunk of their consumer base when they, for better or for worse, intentionally or not, came to be seen as an institution of the left. Suddenly all of these people on the right are boycotting Disney, and that this might be a, you know, it's not an official way. Disney's not going out there and announcing their political affiliation or changing their company's voter registration because that's not a thing. But settling a lawsuit that they didn't need to settle with someone that's seen as a right-wing person over a free speech issue, even though the First Amendment does not apply in a private context, is a way of them to virtue signal to the right or the people that are right of center that Disney is not this super woke, lefty, liberal, you know, factory that you think that it is. Maybe we're more middle of the road. And let's not forget at the end of the day here, folks, for everybody listening at home, none of these companies are truly conservative or liberal or progressive or GOP. they want to make money, bias. And they're going to do whatever is going to make money. So if they say to themselves, we will win back some of those people that we lost by kind of doing this move that also at the same time is not necessarily going to piss off too many of people on the left, that's all that they're trying to do at the end of the day. They want to get viewers back. They want to end boycotts.
All right, we're going to have to end it there. Mike, thanks for your legal expertise. Tommy, thank you for being the heart and the soul of this channel. And of course, you got to get back to work. Sorry. Okay, we'll wrap up. But obviously, we want to hear what you guys think about this down in the comments below. Keep it civil, kids. Keep it civil. That's all I'm going to say, okay? We are adults. We're all Star Wars fans here. We can have a nice, civil discussion without name-calling down in the comments or on our socials, which are linked below, or on our free-to-join Discord server. And if you need to calm down while you're thinking about corporations making money, you can shop our merch store and look at some of the great parody merch that we have on there. And don't forget to try out Fume. And the link for that is also below.
And let's give a shout out to Sharpie Pink Highlighters.
I didn't clear Sharpie this with Pink Ryan, but I'm sponsored by Squarespace. So if you guys could go squarespace.com/MikeyTheLawyer. No, it's not a thing. Don't do that.
But honestly, I do use this Fume a lot. It helps me during troubling times like this.
Yes.
And of course, if it's your first time here, be sure to subscribe, smash that bell for alerts. Tommy, Mike, thank you guys for joining me. See you guys later.